greatest pig in the world. He said, "Hey, how come that pig's got a wooden leg?" I said, "Hey, wait a minute. That's the greatest pig in the world. House caught on fire one day, and that pig woke us up and saved our life." He said, "Yeah, but what about that wooden leg?" I said, "Hey, that ain't not the worst of it." I said, "One time I was riding my tractor, it tipped over and I got stuck. Oink come out there and dug me out, drug me right off my and saved my life." He said, Yeah, but what about that wooden leg?" I said, "Hey, you don't eat a great pig like that all at once." Sorry about all the pig lovers. Sorry about that. Oh. Mike Hall loves that.
You know how many times I've heard that joke?
Once. You never heard him call it oink. Okay. We got our pastor here with us today. Bless his name. Faithful. Okay, we're on a series right now. This month is Risk and Faith. And Pastor Clarence and Karen spoke last week, and they did a great job on setting the foundation. So we're just going to talk a little bit on that. And we know that the word is truth. And to me, my faith is by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I love the word of God. I line everything up with Jesus, and I line it up with the word. So, and it says, the Bible says, "Study, show yourself approved, a workman unto God, and he's not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth." So, I just wrote a bunch of stuff down here. I've been studying all week. We know that faith is a substance.
What is it?
Okay. We walk by faith. You guys are smart as me. So how do we get faith? Faith comes by the word of God. Okay. So how do we grow in faith? Now, I shared this a little bit week before last when we was talking about honor. How do we grow in faith? And some people complained to me that I talked too fast. They couldn't write it down. So I'll go slow. Number one, we have to develop a hunger for the word of God. Develop the hunger for the word of God. Start your day off with the word of God. If you can only do 5 minutes, start someplace and start. And pretty soon, the more you get in the word, the more you're going to grow. The more you're going to build your faith. So we learn to pray earnestly. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we have to learn to pray, and we start praying the word. The word works. Work the word. Worship. Very important to me. I love sitting alone. I think some of the best times I ever had in my life of worship was when he was a young pastor, and he used to get a couple of us guys over and say, "Just come over, let's just pray and worship God." And them really put a foundation over under me, because he is a man of faith. When somebody with three kids at that time can leave home and take off for Bible school and quit a great job, he stepped out in faith, and look at him now. We're old. he's been my example forever, for almost 30 years. So I don't think at that time I would have been accepted in most churches, because I was a mess. But he accepted me. He never judged me. He just taught me. Okay, now here's one that's really important. Connect with other like-minded believers. This is where a lot of Christians make a big mistake. They get offended. The first thing they do is they start isolating themselves. And when they do, I have a saying for that. The first banana to leave the bunch is the first one to get skinned. So just remember that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But that's what happens. They always said you take the coals out, set the coals out. You take one out, it burns out, and the rest of them are still burning. We're still going to be here. We might make mistakes. We don't want to offend anybody. We love you. But things happen, and we can't cover all the bases all the time. But we still love you. And the worst thing you can do is separate yourself, because we're all here to help. We're all here. We all need each other. So, here's this was in the book here. I thought this was pretty good. What you do with what you have been given now will determine how ready you are for what's coming. What you have now is preparing you for what's coming. And you have to build on that, what you have now. This is how you grow in faith. You step out and you believe God for something, and God comes through. Might not be in your time, but God has always been faithful to me. I don't think he's ever failed me. It might not be in my time, but it'll be in his. Sooner or later. You know, I shared the thing about this. Make markers in your life. When I lost my tooth in the lake and found it. That's impossible. But I always make that marker in my life. I mean, that's impossible. But I did it. He did it. Jeremiah 12:5 says, if you have contended with a footman and they have wearied you, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? In other words, we're contending now with the footmen, but the horsemen are coming. So we have to build our faith and learn to trust God, because we need the supernatural power in our lives right now to say, our God answers by fire. So, amen. That's what we're looking for. Or put it another way, when you face a Goliath in your life, do you say he's too big to hit or too big to miss? David started out with a lion, built his faith, tackled a bear. Goliath was nothing for him. He knew God brought him through 2 times before, and he brought him through again. He gave glory to God. He was a man after God's own heart. Amen. Okay, here's another little thing. Knowing the scriptures is one thing, but knowing the author is another. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith is in what he has already done. It is finished. Our faith is in Jesus. Is Matt back there? Hey, okay, Pastor Troy. I need John 5:37-40. Knowing the scriptures is one thing, knowing the authors is another. All right. Okay, I'll read over here so I don't have to turn my back on you. And this is the Pharisees, knows the scriptures, right? And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen him, nor seen his form. Go ahead. Next one. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. So they knew the scriptures. But they didn't know Jesus. But we know Jesus. He left his word. He showed the examples how to walk, how to be men of integrity and women of integrity. And love people. The greatest of these is love. Paul. Okay, we're going to... Okay, here's another one of them. A Bible falling apart probably belongs to someone who isn't. You go in some people's houses and they got a Bible sitting there and brand new. Come back 10 years later, it's still sitting there. Brand new. I've seen them, the big white ones. Mine's falling apart. So, that's how important the word is. It is not because how much faith we have. It is because of what he's already done, which I already said. Revelation precedes an impartation of faith. That is why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why Paul. Now, Paul, he said, I didn't meet with any man. He says, what I'm telling you, I see by revelation. He sees it by revelation. And as we read the word, we get things revealed to us. It just pops right out. I remember the first time I ever got a revelation of what it really meant. When I was just a young Christian, I think I shared it with Pastor Louis at that time. We was at a board meeting, and I says, you know what I've seen today? It was the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured. And God says, this is my son. This is who he really is when he was transfigured right in front of them. That's who he is. He's not just a man. He is God. When revelation comes, then faith abides. Abide means to stay, to remain, to continue. So when revelation comes, nobody can talk you out of that. It goes down into your spirit. Somebody can tell you something and it doesn't. But when God tells you something, nobody's going to change your mind. You know. You know what you know. And you step out on that revelation. Faith begins where ability stops. If you can do it in your own self, it's not faith. But if you can't find your tooth in the lake, that's impossible. What you believe will determine how you behave. Some people speak good words. They don't believe them because you can tell by the way they act.
I'm not talking about nobody.
Not talking about nobody. What is your negative spiritual gravity? Now, I shared this before with you. Your past. What's holding you back? Your past. Religion. How many of us believe things we don't know why we believe it? That's why we search the word. We've been taught. You know, I know a lot of us, Pat, come out of the Catholic background, and we were taught things, and then when you start reading the Bible, you say, well, that's not even in there. You know, it's just what people's told you. It's man-made religion. Unbelief. Unbelief is big-time spiritual gravity. How about tradition? Jesus said your tradition makes the word of God of no effect. You've got to break that tradition. The survival of religion depends on our willingness to remain ignorant of His Word. If you know His Word, you're not going to operate in religion. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. God heals. God delivers. God sets free. God is a God of breakthrough. That's who He is. Faith and works go together. You got James 1:20 through 25. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing himself in a face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one is blessed in all he does. Okay? So we can know the word, but if we don't do it, we're deceiving ourselves. People now are looking for the real thing. If you say you love them, how do you act with them? We want work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, endurance inspired by the love and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We must have revelation before we have manifestation. Faith operates from the law of truth, not fact. Truth will always supersede fact. The truth, the word is truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Faith comes out of revealed word, which empowers us to see into the things that are unseen. Faith comes out of the things that empowers us. I am not moved by what I see or hear. I'm moved by what I believe. I can get more out of God by believing Him than yelling at Him. Believing Him for 1 minute, then yelling at Him all night. Simple faith. Believe in the Word. We don't have to holler at Him all night. If we believe the Word, He'll answer. We step out in faith. I got a lot of them little sayings, and I live by them. I mean, they pop up when I think I'm doing something that ain't right. One of them little pops up. Let not him who's putting on the armor brag to the one who's taking it off. Some of these guys have been in this faith thing for years. And they've seen these things come and go. But they're still grounded in the Word. They're still grounded in Jesus Christ. So, some of these people get a revelation, they think everybody should jump on their bandwagon, but if it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not God. Okay, let's see. Satan uses fear to operate in your life. God uses faith. Starve your fear, feed your faith with the Word of God. Do you have Jude? Okay. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Is that it? But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen, Lord. The word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word is. It's powerful. It's living. Amen. I'll bring Patty up here after this when you're ready. She fills in the holes. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. Faith looks up. Amen. Keep our focus on the King of Kings. Hallelujah. He loves us. What a story. What a story. You ready? Come on up here. This is my wife, Patricia. Patty, Pastor Patty. And we love her. So.
That's my guy. I say that every time I come up here. You're so cute.
Thank you.
So cute. So cute. Yeah, look at you. Whoops. Oh, now I'll be lost. Yeah, I did. I had one, started with one.
More.
Okay. Two. I have my glasses on. You, but we both have our glasses on. This is great.
I can't see out my glasses.
Okay, I'll figure it from there, babe.
It's the four, where's three?
There is no three. This is a secret. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Lowell. I love those things he says. We call them Lowisms. I call them his Lowisms. And they're full. They're rich. They're full of wisdom. And he talks like that all the time. That's the one-liners. I love that. So praise God. Well, we're talking about risk and faith, but I want to say a prayer, okay, before I go any further. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Lowell, Lord. I thank you for his heart. And Lord God, how much he loves you. It's just so evident. And I thank you that he does everything he can to give it away. So Lord God, I just pray today and tonight that you are honored, that you are blessed by what we say, and that we say only what you would have us say. Father God, in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I'm just so grateful, so happy you're here. So walk among us, move among us, and minister to each person where they each sit. You know where everyone is. You know who they all are. You know every hair on every head. It is amazing. So I ask you, Father, by your Holy Spirit, whatever is needed here tonight, that you take care of it. Father God, from the tiniest thing to the largest thing in a heart and in a life. And I thank you, Father God, that by faith we go out of here changed. We go out of here closer to you, and we go out of here knowing more and more what a friend we have in Jesus. We thank you, oh God, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. It's about risk and faith. And so as earlier in the week, about a week ago, the Lord just in the night spoke to me about go to the battle of Ai, Joshua. The battle of Ai was a failure for Joshua. So I thought, well, Lord, why would you have me go there? But it seems to be that every time we talk, what God gives me is the flip side of everything. It's the what can go wrong. How can we not do this thing? How can we not step out in risk and faith or all the other things? You know, how can we not have joy and hope in the things? So as you've been with us through the weeks, you've heard me do that. And I have to tell you, I'm learning while I'm talking to you, and while we're studying, we are learning with you. And I'm just amazed at some of the stuff that God is revealing as we're learning all this. It's been a pleasure. But Joshua, meaning the victory for faith for him, was his obedience to God. He had heard from God. Joshua had a word from God that he was to go. He was to cross the Jordan. And he went through three major military strategies involving more than 30 enemy armies. And he was victorious, but it was God that was the conqueror, because God gave him explicit instruction on everything that he encountered to do and how to do it. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how do you step out in risk with faith and accomplish what you've been sent to do, what you feel in your heart God has told you to do about something. It could be anything. It could be making a move from a house to a house. It could be from a place to another country. It could be all kinds of things. But we have to know we're hearing from God. So what I was picking up from the battle of Ai was, how do we mess this up? How can we mess it up? With this, it is not by sight, but it is spirit to spirit from God. And we know, as Lowell said, when we have the revelation, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And he says, go or do this. And we know we've heard him. Then we need to wait on the confirmations and rest in the word he's given us. And risk, I looked up what risk means. Risk means hazardous. It means dangerous. It means trouble. So being as we're speaking on risk and faith, I thought, wow, you know, we are talking about what do we do when something we step into, or we have to go do something that's not so comfortable. You know, even for Lo and I standing up here, honestly, and starting to do this with all of you, this was a risk and a faith thing for us. You know, we taught years ago in the church, but it's been a long time since we taught or did anything like this. So it could be all kinds of things. But victory comes through believing what you're hearing from God and staying steadfast to it, and not wavering, not being double-minded. Although Joshua led the people, it was God who was the ultimate conqueror. I'm a little bit mixed up on my notes, so bear with me. Let's see. God said to Joshua, let's go in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, go to Joshua 1 with me. No, I'm okay, honey. I'm okay. Joshua 1:3, it says, we start with 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given it to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. He goes on, we'll kind of skip through. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now keep in mind, all these promises, they don't have this yet. This is all big stuff. It's like Lo going and finding his tooth in the lake. For those of you that don't know that story, you have to come to us and we'll explain. But it's a big thing. How are you going to do something like that? Only be strong and very courageous, verse 7, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That's explicit. Don't go right. Don't go left. Go exactly the way I'm telling you to go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make. I love that. It says, it doesn't say, for then your way will be made successful, prosperous, and you will have good success. It says, for then you will make your way. So we make decisions when we follow God to listen to him. God has given us this thing for our life. And I felt as we were in worship that there are many of you, you're in valleys of decision. You're in places of transition. And you're making decisions. And they're important ones. And I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to say to you, make sure you follow explicitly what you're hearing. Don't add. Don't subtract. And don't get ahead of God. Just rest and wait. And it will all come to pass. God will always bring us through. Just like that song we sang. There isn't anything that we go through that God won't ultimately bring us through. Whatever trial we're going through, yes, we will go through storms. And Joshua is entering the land of all these uptight people. The Hittites and all the rest. And, you know, all of these enemies. But God is telling him, you know what? It's going to be okay, Joshua. Can you imagine how he must have felt? And here he is, the leader of all these people. I had read somewhere, I told Lo, I said they were like 40,000 strong in the army. And here he is with the responsibility to say to them, God said to me, this is what you're supposed to do. So they proceed. So they cross over the Jordan. So as they go, they come to Jericho. God gives them everything they need to bring down the walls of Jericho. Now, this is a phenomenal story. And they do what he says, and the walls of Jericho fall, which is amazing in of itself. So the next thing that they go through, we're going to go to Joshua 7. I think I might have asked for that one. No. Joshua, did I ask you for Joshua 7? Verse? Oh, not yet. Not that one yet. Okay. Oh, that is correct. That's right. Okay. Then Joshua, okay, the battle of Ai comes, and they lose the battle of Ai. They go out to fight it, but they lose it. And there's the people of Ai are only a few people. In as far as what had already happened to them at Jericho, they're just a few of them. But what had happened is somebody in the camp did something they weren't supposed to do that went contrary. They stole an item that God told them, when you come to Jericho and you are victorious, you cannot take anything but what I say you can take from Jericho. Well, they didn't listen, and they took things that they had greed for, and they hid them in the camp, Achan. And so it was found out. God got very upset, said, now I'm taking myself, my spirit. It says, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. So God gets upset with them. And the reason it is, to put it simply, if we put it to where we are, when God tells us how to do something, we can't make up our mind to make it suit ourselves. Be kind of like, you know, someone, you're making a pattern of a suit for yourself or something, and God gives you exactly how he wants this suit of armor made for you. And you say, you know what, I think I'm going to tweak this. I think I might change this a little bit. It'll be okay with God. You know, he really doesn't matter. But God tells us what he tells us, how he tells us, for a reason. And the reason is always for our own good, for our own victory, so that he can bring us through to a victorious ending. So as far as where I was going, which is Joshua, I'm sorry guys, but my notes are all over up here now. Okay, Joshua 7, verse 6, it says, Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Okay, 7, and Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh my gosh, what happened to gratefulness here? They're not even eating manna anymore. They're getting real food over here. Okay. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? Like God has a problem with that? What? I find this kind of funny. What would God do with his great name? Well, I mean, he's God. He's God, right? He's living God and God alone, God only. So the Lord said to Joshua, I love this, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And I'll stop right there. But God says to him, get up. It's not over. If we goof up, we make a mistake, God is good. His grace is so big. He covers us over and over. We goof up all the time. There's so many times Lo and I have tripped up through the years and said, oh my gosh, and once you get an understanding of what you've done and the love of the Father comes in there and stirs that up in you and you say, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry. And you go from there. He's not going to hold it against you. Once you talk to him about it and ask him to forgive you for whatever it was, it's over. It's a done deal. It's way buried more than Lowell's tooth was. I love that about your tooth, Lowell. Now give me a second while I see if I can find out where in the world I am here. I did that. Can you give me Mark 8:34-36? when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, Jesus, and he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" That's what God's all about. He's all about our soul. Then because he's a good God and he's a good father, he doesn't do the bad things. He wants us to be victorious and he wants us to overcome, be overwhelmingly more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That's what he wants. Praise God. Obedience, there's different levels of risk. Like I was saying earlier, like if you're a missionary and you're called, can you imagine some of you in here may be missionaries, have been on the mission field or go to mission fields and like pastor travels. There's a risk in all of that. But God, when God has spoken and said, do it, the risk is obliterated. And what's obliterated is the fear that makes it a risk. So once you take that away, all that risk is enveloped in the love of God and the word that you've heard and as God said, and it's not risk anymore. So you wonder, how could they have been martyred? How could Christians have gone through what they did? And even Christians now in other parts of the world, how they are suffering and what's going on, and that grieves my heart for what they're encountering. And we do not have to encounter that here yet anyway. But it's like what Lowell said, that scripture about the footman. The horseman, if you contend with the footman and you're weary, what will you do when the horsemen come? And I would say that's what we need to look up, church, and we need to see ahead on where we are. And these things in our life that God wants to train us to hear from him. So as I thought about that story, I also thought about Elijah and how Elijah ran away and he ran into a cave. And God said to Elijah, "What are you doing in there?" Just like he said. He says to Joshua, "Get up." And he says to Elijah, "What are you doing in there?" Well, Elijah, you know, he was tired and he heard about Jezebel and he got afraid. After he'd done all the things that he had done. So it shows our humanity. We have humanity. And that's what Jesus Christ died for. He died for Jesus when he was in the garden. Look how he prayed to the Father. Can this pass from me? Do I have to go through this? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Father. So we do encounter times of trial like that. But if we stay and hold fast to what we know God has said we are to do, we will come through victorious because he will give us the victory. But the timing is everything, as Lowell said. It may not be in our timing, you know. Whatever you're praying for and going through right now, it may not be in your timing. Maybe even if you're praying for a spouse, you're praying for someone to marry. That God cares, he cares. And the thing is, it's timing. But if we go and we say, you've heard God say something about someone or something, and if you go and rush something like that, you can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. You know? So anyway, so Elijah's running in there, and he's wanting to hear from God. So God is good to oblige him with a real strong wind, and then an earthquake, and all this, but God's voice isn't in it. And Elijah gets real still, and he's listening. So then he hears the still, small voice of God that gives him instructions. And sometimes we have to set ourselves apart when we are seeking direction. And it's not going to come from a brother and a sister or someone, you know, just running up all the time. You will get confirmations a lot like that. But the first place, you may have to go right to the face of God. And you might have to be real quiet and be real still and hear what he's telling you to do. Then you go on that word. And you don't run, you walk. And you walk with him. And it says here, when Elijah, he heard, when he went outside, I love the part where it says he wrapped the mantle around himself and he went to the opening of the cave. And I thought that was interesting that when he was coming out, that he wrapped what was around him. But he was tired. He was tired. And it seems to me he had fulfilled his days and what God would have him do. And God in his goodness took care of him that whole time he was there, but brought another one on the scene, Elisha. So you see, when we're on a journey with God, we can't see around the corner. and we can't see around the curves. We can only see so far. That's all he wants us to see. If he wants to see any farther, he'll tell us. He'll give us a revelation or a nugget or something that there is something, this is over there. But you still have to do the journey. You still have to take the walk. You can't jump ahead of that. So I speak a lot from our own experiences. And when we, in this timing that Lowell talks about, that we met Pastor Louis, we were young in the Lord and had found church on the North Coast. And it was a Christian assembly at that time. It wasn't church on the North Coast. And this is like 30 years ago. And we were in our 30s. And we were searching, and God, we had moved to a house in the country, and the way it happened was we lived in a little neighborhood in Lorraine where I started feeling like we had to get our kids out of this neighborhood for their safety. And all of a sudden, I started having dreams, God dreams. And I started saying, I think God told me this, and Jesus said this, and Lowell thought I was nuts. He did. He thought, what is the matter with her? And I said, no, I really am feeling this. I'm really... So God started to speak to me in dreams. And that's when it all started. But by faith, we had to take a risk. We put our house up for sale, and we moved out into the country. God said to us as we moved out into the country, this is going to be your wilderness. I didn't know what that meant. When we moved in, I didn't know what that meant, that this would be our wilderness. But as time kept on going and we stayed there, I realized we were in a wilderness. Everything started falling apart. The house we moved from ended up, it didn't sell. We had two house payments. Lowell's health started to fail, and you've heard some of our testimony. That is when Lowell ended up having a breakdown from Vietnam and different things. My back went out, and I ended up needing back surgery, and Pastor was good to tell me one night on a Wednesday night, Patty, please go see a doctor. It was like 4 years. I waited. But God met me through this surgery. I can't explain to you why I had to go that way, why God just didn't heal me in a minute. But I went through the surgery and I saw Jesus, and I had a talk with God, changed my life, and that's why I'm standing here now. Or I wouldn't still be standing here. I wouldn't do this. I was scared to death. So he told me, you know, choose this day whom you're going to serve. I was just saying, Jesus, take me home. I want to come home. And I didn't know it at the time. I had staph infection in my head, moving around in my head. And they found it in time. And it was so funny because Pastor, before I had gone into surgery, he came to see me and he was praying, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I can remember laying on that thing, looking up at those blind, you know, the old lights with the things in them. And Pastor was praying, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I'm going to die. Because you know, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to die. And, well, what I did was I saw Jesus. I had an encounter. And God so ministered to me through that time. Like I said, it changed my life. And what he was saying to me is, Patty, will you do what I ask you to do? And the Lowell and Patty that moved to that house and the Lowell and Patty that first met Pastor are not the Lowell and Patty standing here now. I mean, the fact that we're pastors and God fulfilled in us something, that the seed was in us, but it needed to be nurtured and we needed to walk our journey. Now, I always knew, but I didn't know specifically, but I had revelation from God. I had an understanding of where we are now, but it was too much for us. If we'd have known all that, we'd have ran away. We'd have hightailed it and said, there's no way, God. No way can we do that. So I say to you, don't get impatient. Impatience will destroy what God is trying to tell you and bring you to and the destiny that he wants you to fulfill and the decisions that he wants you to make. Don't get impatient. Just stay tight. So through this time at our house at Baird Road, God said to us, I want you to go to this church. Well, we didn't go to the church for 3 years because we were ex-hippies. And we had this rebellious spirit about us that we just did not want to go to a church. We were fine the way we were because we went through the Jesus movement and everybody loves you and that kind of thing, okay? So make a long story short, a prophetess came in our life. And this prophetess said to us, go to that church. Go. So when we went to the church, we went with a joy of what God had done for us in this house. This is before some of the other things started to happen. And that God had brought us to this place was a miracle. He told us our house would be a lighthouse. So we started having fellowships at the house from the people in church because we love hospitality. So what happened from that was we were having so many people, Pastor Louie and Tina finally came out one day. And I can remember the day we stood in front of the house with Pastor Tina and said, your church. She said, our church. It was my first, she reprimanded me. And I caught it. Our church, yeah, that's our church. Our church is a lighthouse. God said it's a lighthouse. And so from that time to this time, we have a pastor that has walked a journey in risk and faith, and Pastor Tina and the family and some with him. And here we are in the East with you. And had we not done it, had we not listened, and had we not obeyed God and been patient, maybe it wouldn't have happened this way. But what a joy from my heart to all of you to be standing in front of you. And what a pleasure to share the word of God with you and the life of Jesus Christ and what he can do in our lives, because he is faithful and he is true. So we just give him the glory. Let's give him the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, I did all that without finding where in the world I did all these notes. So I have to be honest with you. The one thing that scares me about doing this is that I wouldn't have my notes. And I said, Lowell says, just open your mouth and talk. So there you go. And God loves you guys. And we're going to pray for you here at the end. If there's anything, you're on a journey and you're looking for a destination and you're looking for direction, we'll pray with you tonight. And I just say in the name of Jesus Christ over all of you, and declare in Jesus' name that you find your way and your perfect path in Christ, that you acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths in the name of Jesus, that you will not go to the right, you will not go to the left, you will not listen to a voice that's not the voice of God in Jesus' name, that you will fulfill in the name of Jesus everything that he has for you to fulfill in your lives, that you will make wise decisions according to the word of God, decisions that come straight from his heart and straight from his throne. And those of you that need healing in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed in Jesus' name. Every sickness, every disease, every plague, everything that has beset any of you in the name of Jesus Christ, go release these bodies now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no authority in Jesus' name. I declare the blood of Jesus from the cross and what it did and its finished product over every life here, every head, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, in the precious and mighty name of our Savior and King Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Send them out, Lord. Send them out in faith with new boldness in the name of Jesus. All regrets, the power of regret, broken in the name of Jesus Christ. No regrets. No regrets. God is a perpetual God, and we are going to look forward, like that visitor we had, Graham Cook, said, you know, about to administer to me that God is perpetual. You repent unto God. You repent unto Jesus Christ. You repent unto the Holy Spirit. Don't look back, church. Don't look back. Just look forward. God has the best. The best is yet to come for the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Pastor will be taking up an offering for the earthquake victims Sunday. So he had it on Facebook, so I'll just mention it to you now. So bring a little extra for them so we can be a blessing to them. And live right, love everybody, pray hard. Love you.